Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the AI Boardroom. And yeah, Svetlana, it's been a minute. Summer break, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, there's been a minute, but we're back into it. So here to talk about AI voice agents. So what are they? What are some challenges organizations are experiencing by introducing them? And some different applications. So we're going to go through a couple of practical business applications, how different business verticals, industries are using them. So I'm really excited about this one because, I think it's been trending a lot, especially with the voice agents and more organizations.
I think more in the US than here. Like here, people are still trying to get chatbots working. but yeah,
and here I think he means Germany, so we are kind of on two different sides of the world, but I think voice agents is as the voice technology is becoming better and better, and we're kind of seeing it from different angles. Music is now using it. I think there's ChatGPT came out with what is the name of
want to name? Come out with, like, so still
want to, I'm sorry.
still trying to, caveat.
But I think that the voice technologies is really kind of improving, which, you know, kind of makes it very lucrative for organizations to be like, hey, is this something that is ready now for us to replace agents, kind of the call center agents and other places, which we'll talk about more, but do you want to just dive in and maybe let's start with defining what are voice agents?
The general definition is that we have some input that we usually get as text, which we now get as voice, so we can have a call or a conversation in a natural manner with our voice instead of like typing stuff in. So that's the basic idea. And we basically have technically like two ways to approach it. So we have the first way would be to actually take what we do in our chatbots, take the text, just synthesize it, and give back the synthesized audio so that you, instead of giving back the text, you speak. This has several challenges, which we will go into in the next part, but that's basically the one thing. The new thing that's coming around now is that the LLM's getting multimodal, so they don't take the input text, get text out, and you synthesize it, but you give them directly the audio feed, and they spit out audio on the other side. So that's basically the idea, so that you don't need to go through all the synthesis tasks, which all costs time, but you're able to get direct voice output. That said, it's still really early, and we basically don't have a model yet which makes this really applicable. There was one release this week, I think it's called Mosh or something, which open source such technology, but the model itself is pretty pretty early stage. So, but yeah, it's getting through to be actually usable, but I think through this episode we might lean more on the classical way of like transforming the text. But yeah.
And I think with another notable difference, because, you know, what's different between the phone agents that you kind of have the robotic voice answering the 1-800 number and this AI kind of voice agents we're speaking about is because there's some intelligence behind it. So the traditional 1-800 number, like press dial 2 for this option, dial 3 for this option, are very much rule-based type of systems. So there's predefined script. So someone like literally creates like a tree of decisions and tree of different tasks for this robotic voice to voice out, and it's very constant. Mm-hmm. With AI voice agents, they are tied to some intelligent systems. I think here you're referring to large language models that are able to pivot. So there's not a predefined script. So depending on the context, and you can be very interactive with this agent in a way, so you don't have to say things in a particular way, enunciate them in a specific way without an accent, and it can pivot not based on a predefined script or tree of decisions. It can actually, you know, go different paths. And sometimes instead of taking you to another agent, like a live agent, it can answer those questions live based on the knowledge base that it's kind of has access to.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that's a also, I think, a differentiation factor that I think is important to highlight.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that being said, I think we should directly switch to the challenges topic. So yeah, like I said before, so we have some technical, some also, yeah, like soft skill stuff. Talking about the technical stuff, so one major thing that really breaks the immersion is mm-hmm. always the latency. So if I say something and I need to wait seconds without any response from the system, it makes the waiting awkward, and yeah, it kind of feels like you're going a step, waiting, then going the next step, waiting. So yeah, that's basically where you're at when you have too much of a latency,
which is not natural, I think. And that's why I think, yeah. Just to kind of give an example, it's like, you know, you and I are kind of talking, and then I'll ask you a question, and you're like, silence processing is just very unnatural, because we're not really sure, is it because you don't really have that immediate feedback, right? Like, understand my question and processing? Is it confused? Am I going to get hung up on? And so I think that inference is the reason why it's important, like that delay in getting a response, is because it's just not natural for us to wait that long. And it's actually quite off-putting to customers to have to wait for a response.
And it's also even more awkward because you don't have a face. Like, now we do, like, of course, the podcast, but we also have a video feed to that. So if you're talking and... or like, if you ask me something and then you wait for an answer, you see that I'm thinking, actually. So we get some feedback.
Yes.
If you have only a call, you might ask yourself, like, are we disconnected? Is there something wrong? Like, did mm-hmm. you not understand? Like, because you don't get any feedback, because that's what you have to work with. There are mitigation strategies. So you could... I spoke to a company, they actually, that's their main product is call services, mm-hmm. automated through like cloud systems. Like, and they, like you said, had basically the old call screen stuff where it just like step by step goes through something. And now, of course, implement AI. And what they did is they tried to first reduce the latency as far as they could, but they still have several seconds delay. And what they do is, like, on a random basis, they put in like arms and typing, even like typing of a keyboard or something, to simulate that someone's searching up something in the system. So and latency stays the same, but the perceived time of waiting is a lot more. It's a lot more enjoyable to the customer because he then has some feedback. It's the same if you're on the website, you click a button and nothing happens, even if the actual action gets through. It's just a bad experience. And if you don't have a video feed, it's the same on audio. If you wait without any feedback, it's just a bad experience.
I like that. I can appreciate them thinking kind of going beyond, above and beyond. If you think, again, what we talked about previously about ChatGPT releasing their kind of voice agent, they did, I think, include the ums and ifs. And so inference.
That was actually the model. That was not to mitigate time delay. They actually did
It was part of their personality.
Yeah, actually. And that's what they did. Like, they removed all the processing between by giving the model the ability to produce audio, to like get audio and to produce audio without any intermediate steps. Same for images, by the way. But we still don't have access to the full model, so I cannot give too much detail about that. But that's basically what they do. They created a multimodal model, which means basically get different modalities in and get different modalities out. You could also, in the future, for example, say you get audio in and get an image out. So that's mm-hmm. that's the beauty of multimodality. So and that's actually why they got this natural conversation to that point, because they reduced latency to milliseconds, and which you have a natural conversation, and that also, and that's the next challenge, you cannot interrupt. So think about, you take text, you put it in a machine and wait for the audio file, and then you can play the audio file. In all of the process, if someone's interrupting you, it's not easy to react to this, because you play the whole audio file. You might interrupt the audio file, but it will be even more natural than the conversation was anyway, because you have a lot of disturbances. And if you do the new GPT-4o way, or I think Google Gemini also wants to introduce this, you're actually able to interrupt the model, and it reacts naturally to the interruption, like a human would. And that's kind of a big win on their side too.
Yeah, and I think we talked about, like, the just to drive home that kind of how it works behind the scenes. So it's almost like a radio. I don't know if you've ever, when you were a child, had these radio things that you walked, you know, across different rooms, and you're like, hey, can you listen to me? You have to press the button down. Like a walkie-talkie type of thing. And then you press down, and then the other person can listen when you talk, but they can't press that thing, and you hear it, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so that's basically the state of voice agents currently, that are, again, apart from some of these newer technologies that aren't yet released to the public, it is very like, take turns and wait until kind of you're done with your part and it stops, and then it takes their part, like basically AI takes time to actually process and return a response, and then for you to take your turns. But what I think you're referring to is with OpenAI, you can actually interrupt mid-sentence and have the AI system pivot basically in a different direction without completing that specific task, which I think could be game-changing, actually.
Definitely, yeah. I'm also I don't have any info about how long can a conversation be before it reaches like context limits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they will stick to the 128,000 tokens they have right now, which, to give you some point of reference, the first book of Harry Potter from the text tokens would be 117,000 or something.
So you're saying it's a book of Harry Potter, basically, like
the context window. So might be different for audio tokens. I don't know, but
yeah. Awesome. Because you can, I mean, I would imagine that, you know, companies have either voice scripts or policies that are hopefully less than a Harry Potter book. So it should give you some promise that it would in the future, sometime in the future, when some of this technology, especially from OpenAI, is released. But I think that there's some of this is already available. And again, but we'll go into use cases, but some of this is already being used.
It's also not far off. So we actually will get access to these technologies pretty soon. So yeah, we will also, if any update might be delivered on what we talk about today, then we record another episode, promise you that. One challenge I want to emphasize on that note, which also differs the direct system, which was up and coming, and the actual system that you could implement today, is emotions. So if you transform audio to text, you lose like one channel of a conversation, which is like the subtext, the emotions, the tension in the voice, stuff like that. You completely lose that. And you could go ahead, use, like, there's Hume AI, I think. They focus only on emotion detection in like basically every modality, but that would add latency to your response. So you really have to weigh how much value it delivers to you before you actually use stuff like that. Could be also interesting in something like a chatbot to actually evaluate the emotions to like improve your answer. But yeah, that's something that if you process the audio directly, which the new GPT-4o chatbot does, for example, it reacts and it also changes its voice based on what your emotions are. While today, you it's really a manual process, which is kind of tedious to implement. And even if you got it to a point where it's kind of working, you might run into some issues. So if you have something where a lot of emotions would be needed to be tracked, hotline for first aid for people with any problem, then yeah, where emotions have a big part in understanding the people, the human on the other side, you might wait for newer technologies because or add latency to the pipeline by knowing you could deliver better response. Still, you have to evaluate if there is a need of processing the emotions in the message.
Yeah. So these agents can get then quite complex, because I think if you're accommodating by, you know, filling in the the gaps with the ums and kind of like the thinking or whatever, and then considering emotions and things like that. So there's multiple factors. I don't know that they're challenges, but I think they're really important considerations for how do you actually deliver the best customer experience for your target use case. And I think that's where we're, I think, probably headed in next is like, how are these organizations and like, what are they using these agents for? And it's again, best AI is aligned to the business objectives and cater to your customers. And I like that you've given that example about kind of emotional state may be important for like a hotline for like mental health or I don't know, some other kind of, you know, response system where emotions are really part of your business objectives, like to detect them. And sometimes that's the reason why you have voice agents 24/7 to basically the one that better detects them than a human. But there are, again, like emerging approaches to actually help with some of that. But just talk up to kind of dive into some of these other use cases that we're seeing a lot of and you probably have heard of. And I think this one's an exciting one that I've kind of heard, just to give you an example of how else you can be thinking about agents is sales. So I saw a recent use case, and I think some demo, I want to say in the last couple of weeks, where the voice agents are actually used to do a follow-up post bookings that are made on the website. So think real estate, building new communities, you fill in the form, you want to talk to an agent. If it's over the weekend, then chances are the agents are not working. They're taking time off. So, and there's research, and don't quote me on this, but there's research that states that if you don't return a call, like the better conversions are the best within like a certain time period. Yeah. So it's you get the best conversion if you have a return call within, let's say, the first hour, and then it declines after that. So if you do wait 2 days before reaching back to that client, the chance of that client converting to a paying customer is less and less. And so voice agents are now used to do follow-up. So when someone completes the forms online and within minutes, sometimes like you can even like put a timer on it, within 5 minutes, they'll return a call asking you questions that clarify your responses. So typically like these forms on the websites are typically like lead gens. So they're very light. You're probably asking them for a name, phone number, and email, something light. So this agent is used to then collect additional information so that when a live agent does call to do this relationship building, they have more data to then look into maybe that customer's background, look at into options and things like that. But it also gives you like a touch point. So instead of just having this kind of informal conversation with the website, you now have talked to an agent. So that's another touch point for the company. and then gives you information to build a better relationship the first time an agent, like a live agent, talks to that customer. So again, you're kind of building up that relationship through these multiple touch points, but the business objective there, especially being kind of in sales, real estate, again, you want to get more people converting. And so for their perspective, time, the response time for that follow-up is really important. And that's where kind of these voice agents come in and really deliver on that value for them. So
I think you mentioned something important. So you have background information of the customer. And the good thing is, if you have an agent that might do the call for you, you can collect a lot of context up front, so you don't have to do it during the call. So on every new lead that comes in, you try to collect as much information as you can beforehand. It takes seconds with an AI system built for that. And then you already have like something you could combine with a call script. That's by the way, it's one of the first things I did to when I was doing my first blog on AI, a blog article on AI. I was I took a HubSpot call script and made a pipeline that if a call center agent is talking, that the system would receive the message and based on the call script give you the correct answer. Or like the best answer that like by the synthesis of what's incoming and what we found in the vector database. And I was hugely impressed because I got the latency of that down to like 1.5 seconds, and it was just the first try. I didn't even optimize anything. That's basically something you could apply to all your AI approaches, like what can I do beforehand to then make the actual answer quicker and better at the same time.
Yeah, and I think it's the beauty of these AI agents and what you're kind of talking about is having that context, but also having more of a human-like interaction because of this intelligence that is built into it. And so this make it feel... This again, the more research that says on this, I think people acknowledge that it's not a realistic conversation, but it is better than the voice prompting, and they still find it useful to give information so that they're not wasting time later. And they're still kind of in that state of providing more information. They're curious. They've just been on your website, so it's top of mind for them. So they are kind of in that prime state to give information rather than, again, if you call them 2 days later to follow up with the live agent, they're like, oh, I forgot why I was searching your website. Never mind, right? So kind of capture them in the state and have that conversation, even if it's not the most ideal. But people, again, are willing to interact. And again, some of the early research with these voice agents saying that, people are seeing value in those conversations, even if they are not, again, probably the OpenAI level yet. Still, I think that there's some really exciting use cases in sales, real estate, that you can explore with voice agents. I think customer service is another one that we're seeing. I don't know if you kind of have any use cases in, that you are kind of specifically thinking of.
So I have a use case I would have wished I could have we were flying with kids and you're allowed to take one seat per kid, like for a car seat and one stroller. And I was like, are there any restrictions? Like, how does it work? I wasn't getting any proper information you can do stuff, but because usually when you fly you have like a billion restrictions like for everything, and everything's like and I just would have wanted to have an AI which has a proper database database of explanations, maybe an FHQ, whatever, who could just answer my question in a quick way. And I would have preferred a voice agent over a chat at that point, because like I wanted a quick answer. And all this chatting takes more time than me just speaking it out and getting an answer within seconds. It's just faster than typing. So it's generally, like, I think for customer service, it's even a better use case because it's not even close to being as slow as like the old the old calling systems are. Mm-hmm. And it saves time compared to stuff. And you don't have to get as much information. Like, you just have to get like standard information from a vector database, which is pretty quick. Hand it over to the AI, synthesize the stuff, and go out. So I think customer service is more often than not pretty straightforward, because like most of things that are asked are pretty simple and mundane. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think I'm looking forward to add it to our own customer service solution too. So yeah.
And I think one thing about these, just kind of to drive home on the customer service, I hate talking to chatbots on websites. Like, hate is a strong word, but I do, because of like, it is so trial and error, and it is very scripted, right? Even like those agents are the equivalents of like these prompt systems. And so the chances of you even going through the agent that is not AI enabled to get a response, it's like the success rate is so low that I don't even try. And so I usually, like, my default is like you, and especially in circumstances where you have your child or children, you're traveling, like, you're not going to like have a stroller and like a kid and start to type questions and interact with the chatbot. Like, for customer service, I think it is important for you to deliver that like quick response systems. And so usually for me, I'm like, okay, what's my success rate if I call this 1-800 number and press 000
until I get to the right one? Like, yeah, even think about, even if you can just have an AI system understand the request and route the customer to the right endpoint, so even that would already be a huge improvement on what we have today in most of the systems. Yeah.
So yeah, and to make me happy and press less of the zero buttons, because I do, like, literally I just need to speak to an agent and I just need a quick response instead of navigating all of these kind of prompts.
If it accepts voice input, I always like directly try to human agent until it just gives up and gives it puts me
exactly through. Yeah, and I think a lot of it actually is like when you do these prompt systems, I don't know if people, I guess those who are listening who operate, you know, customer service or call center agents, a lot of these promptings are often used for analytics. They're not actually helping you to divert to multiple different center types. Sometimes they do. So if you have like a really, really huge multi-product service kind of organization,
for example,
how many times I've called like maybe smaller offices and you have like 500 different, you know, things, different buttons and like things, decisions to navigate, and you still land on the same person at the end. And it's like,
interesting.
So I do think that in some cases, it is mostly used for analytics to understand like staffing needs. So if there's more types of questions that are used in like one part of the practice, you know, people are pressing more of these functions, they're like, oh, maybe we need to staff more people or educate our people on these types of questions, and then have, you know, very nuanced staff. But sometimes if you do have like a call center that is across different products, so for example, you need specialized staff in those. But yeah, it's just not really helpful. And sometimes I would rather just go to the general agent, who's like the router of them all, who can answer my question, than go through these prompts. And sometimes, again, like, this is where I think an AI agent, like, why can't the person, when they call the 1-800 number, hear a voice speaking and ready to answer a question?
Even with latency, if it's at least somewhat conversational and not like a predefined script, it already improves the customer experience by a lot.
And with that
customer satisfaction, and with that maybe also reduced churn, whatever. So yeah, one thing I also want to add is you can be multilingual from the get-go. So at least like in the main languages, I'm not sure how the whole voice synthesis works with like smaller or like not as much used languages, but if you have French, English, German, it's pretty much solved. So yeah, if also think about like, do you have an international customer base, or even for like internal stuff, do you have different subsidiaries of your company which use different languages? Maybe a centralized knowledge management could be done by a voice agent, which is then also like taking the English text and just translates it properly, because that's something that like large language models do basically perfectly. So yeah,
and I think just to demonstrate, like, maybe another use case that I think I'd love to kind of dive in. So right now we've kind of talked about cutting the response rate and then responding to customers immediately to close out the rate. So that was like one objective, business objective that you want to do and use voice agents for. Now we talked about improving customer experience. How do you actually deliver the best experience to your customer to increase satisfaction? Your kind of rankings for the organization. And then the other extreme, I would say, like, you don't have enough staff. And I think a good example that hits home is within healthcare. You do have, you know, specialized clinics, let's say, and you have higher demand than you have the supply of agents. And in this case, you know, where the people who are behind the phone often, especially in these specialized clinics, who are intaking appointments or who are intaking information from patients, there's not enough of them. So in my experience, again, if you do have specialized and very nuanced clinics, they're often operated by nurses. Right now there's a nurse shortage kind of behind this. There's just not enough
people
to answer the phone, because they have to be highly skilled, trained, and you know, you can't, like, the ramp up time for those types of workers is not that quick. So how can you augment these nurses? What part of their workflow or data collection can you take in order to leave just kind of, again, the nuanced work that you do need the nurse for, mm-hmm. in order to validate? So like, there are use cases where, you know, you can even do patient validation. So for example, like, you can hook up these voice agents to APIs behind the scenes to validate the customer, you know, or validate certain conditions or validate to data that's in electronic health records, for example, validate to the appointment type that they're seeking, collect some information, determine the appointment type, and then maybe can go as far as like actually scheduling. So all of these tasks you can't necessarily delegate because there's some nuance and like some training that is involved, like for you to determine like the types of visit that patient is looking for. So for example, if it's like a cancer clinic and they need to schedule a biopsy and then they need to schedule like lab results, there's some logic to the way that these nurses are organizing, and then there's timing between the last labs and the new lab that you can't necessarily just apply rule-based kind of algorithm. There's just like validation that happens. And that's why, again, these highly specialized nurses are operating these phones. What happens when you don't have enough of them? Do you turn patients down?
Yeah.
And
do you really want your nurses to do phone work? Like, I think that's the most important stuff. So like, they have to do healthcare. Like, why should they do the phone job? So, of course you can't, like, to be completely real here, you cannot have 100% solution, but would it benefit you to free up 80% of your stuff?
Yeah,
I guess so.
Exactly. Especially if it's, and it's also maybe fulfilling a shortage, right? So you could be taking on or scaling and taking in more clients or helping more customers if you had basically more of that supply, which you can, again, fulfill with voice agents. So it really goes back, and I think we talk about this a lot, but it comes back to what problem are you trying to solve? And I think voice agents are a great way to scale your customer service operations, like, kind of behind the scenes work, whether it's to follow up, to provide better experience, or to augment your existing people to like free up their time. I think they're really great use cases.
Definitely. Cool. I think we had a lot of use cases now. And I think general application of voice agents got through pretty well. So yeah, I hope you out there are I think the same. And enjoyed this episode as much as we did. Because, Lana, we already got to the end.
Yeah.
Time's flying by. It's like ridiculous. Like, it's always the same on the podcast. It starts in the first 10 minutes. You think, what should we talk about, like, in 10 minutes? And then the next 10 minutes or the next thing that felt like 10 minutes was actually 25 minutes.
That's great. I mean, I think we're both really deeply passionate about the, you know, AI and this topic and really sharing our experience. So, yeah, definitely, I agree.
Good to be back.
Time flies. Yeah. So thank you for joining us. I'd love to invite you to subscribe to us if you enjoy kind of these types of sessions that we have. Leave a comment. Let us know how we could improve and what topics you want us to cover next.
Yeah. So
thank you for joining.
And think about liking and subscribing the video if you liked it. Unsubscribing to the channel, of course. So, really appreciate you. And thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.